Welcome back to another edition of Every Step of the Way Bible Study Discussion Group. A little more information about us. We're more of a discussion forum, a group of brothers that get together every Tuesday and talk about the gospel, share the gospel, share scriptures, and we tie it in with real life situations and try to make it plain and hopefully everybody can relate to it and we try to just bounce things off each other and make it make sense to the average man or even a seasoned person in the word. So hopefully you enjoy it.
It's the group discussion everyone wants more of. The type of conversation people want to be a part of. We share the gospel, scriptures, and we talk real life situations. You've heard us and followed us on Facebook Live. Now you can watch us right here on the Vision Live Network. The wait is over. It's now time for the Hour of Truth. Welcome to the Every Step of the Way Bible Discussion Podcast. The real starts now.
As we know how. Father, we come to you because you are the author and finisher of our faith. And for that, we want to say thank you. But Father, we thank you that you've given us a measure of faith, even the faith of a mustard seed. Lord, we can move mountains, Lord, because of you. And because of your awesome anointing power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we ask that you come into this men's Bible study on tonight. Go to every heart, every mind, every soul, and every spirit. And every family that's represented here tonight. Father, just put in the atmosphere, these are some mighty men of God that you call according to your will and to your purpose.
Yes,
sir. And Father, we find that only what we do for you will ever last. Father, continue to use us mightily. Father, you have a purpose for all of us, and we must walk that purpose out. And Father, we thank you that you would give us the provisions and the Holy Spirit and everything that we need to accomplish what you would have for us to accomplish. But Father, on tonight, we have this word go forth, go from every heart, every mind, and even ones that are on the airways, and touch them as well. Lord, as we continue to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise for us, in Jesus' name we pray. And let all God's people say amen.
Amen. Amen. Awesome prayer. Awesome prayer. Way to open with a strong prayer, Brother George. Man, I missed that. I missed that, man.
Love y'all.
Oh, man, what we've been doing as we walk through this book, Kingdom Man, by Dr. Tony Evans, is before we move forward, I asked if anybody got anything that resonated with them from previous last Sunday or whatever, but we got on kind of late Sunday, about 8:30, because I had ball games or whatever. So we didn't really get finished. Mm-hmm. And so what we're going to do tonight, we're going to just finish up in a Kingdom Man and his personal life in chapter 12, I think that is. Yes, okay. Chapter 12. And
okay.
Hey, you had anything else on 158?
For me?
Yeah.
Yeah, we need to go back and clarify some things.
Okay, yeah, I forgot about that.
They said if you are a messed up man, you are going to contribute to a messed up family. And if you are a messed up family, you are going to contribute to a messed up church. So I get a phone call saying that the way we explained it, not the way the book read it, because the book probably read it better than what we explained it. So if we ever have somebody give us a call, we need to go back and touch on that. But I want to try to break it down to the simplest form so that everybody can understand. What this is talking about is not that if you're messed up, you shouldn't go to church, that you can't come to church messed up.
Right.
It's talking about how if you are a messed up man, it contributes to a messed up family, and you can bring your mess to the church and mess up the church because your home life ain't right. And then you come to the church and you bring all this drama and situation to the church. That's different because you are already a Christian. You already got your life together. Now, if you are, of course you want to come to the church and try to get yourself together. But this right here is talking about, you know, a messed up man, and it was talking about an individual putting all the blame on us, saying, hey, a messed up man can mess up his family, and a messed up family can come and contribute to a messed up church. And then it went all to far to say, and then you're going to contribute to a messed up community, and a messed up community will mess up the state, and then a messed up state will mess up the country. So me, Todd, and the guys on Sunday, We was commenting on this, and then I get a phone call. So I want to make sure that everybody understand that we're not saying that messed up people should not come to church. That wasn't what the conversation was about. It was about knowing that you're bringing mess to the church and that you can, your family can bring drama to the church if you are a messed up family. Then it goes down to, because if you're coming to church, you're bringing your mess that you have with your family, you're bringing it to the church family, and then the church family, it messes up the church. And then it said it spreads out into the community. And I think what Mr. Tony Evans is saying is that if we're not a kingdom man, if we don't have our personal life in order, that one individual can mess up his whole, which I agree with, and then that whole family can bring that same messed up individual stuff to the church. And I hope I explained that. Anybody have anything you want to add to that?
Yeah, what he's basically saying in the beginning of that paragraph is that we, as the men, as the head, that we have to, we must be aligned properly under God and under Christ. So that's kind of the gist of that. He went deeper into showing why it's so important that we are properly aligned.
Right.
So good job, Jay.
But by no means are he saying that if you're messed up, don't come to church. That if you don't have a place to go, if you are messed up. He was just showing the illustration that if you are messed up and you ain't trying to get it right, and even us Christian people, we can mess up the church because we think we already got it fixed. And then we bring it and make all our bad stuff and bring it into the house of the Lord, and then it just spreads all over the place.
Yeah. Anybody who's listening, and by no means would we say that, God would never say that at all. So for future reference, he would never say, if you messed up, don't come to church. The church is supposed to be the hospital for any issues that we have, anybody, that's anybody. So God would never say, if you jacked up, don't come to church. He wants everybody who wants him. So good job, Jay. Anything else we need to touch on?
That's all.
Well, I had on 159, the second to the bottom paragraph, I highlighted, Jesus told us as his disciples that if we want to stick with him and follow him, if we want to save our soul, it will require three things. First, we would need to say no to ourselves, to deny ourselves. This is because your biggest problem is not outside you. Your biggest problem is inside you. In fact, your biggest problem is you. Wow. To follow Christ means you need to learn how to say no to you. This is a big deal because you don't like to tell you no, at least not about what you want. Yet, to fear God as king and follow Christ as head, you must deny yourself. Then you must take up your cross. And on 160, I skipped around a little bit. On page 160, second paragraph, when a believer denies himself and carries his cross, he is submitting to another law higher than himself. He is yielding himself to what God has asked of him, which is to deny his wants, desires, and will in exchange for the following the wants and desires and will of the one who he is following. Mm. I thought that was a good outline, especially because we talk about on here a lot about dying to ourselves. That just did a better job of highlighting why it's important for us to die of ourselves. It says, I am my biggest problem, me. Right. To me, man, that's a whole mouthful. It don't say a lot, but it has a whole lot of weight to it. Somebody give me some on that.
Well, I think, you know, when we get to the next chapter, it's going to really, really cover that for us as men.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So in the next chapter when we get started. So that's all I got. It's going to unfold itself.
Right. Brother Robert.
It's just like you was reading earlier, Brother Jerome, we jacked up. Ain't nobody perfect. That's what we need to go stand in church for, learn something. Learn how to walk this walk. Study to show yourself a fool. Because we jacked up. Listen, we're talking about a supreme God that allows us to be in his presence. But you can't be there any kind of way. You have to make your mind up that you're going to, as the Apostle Paul said, you're going to have to crucify your flesh daily. I mean, your flesh is messed. though we dress it up, cut it up, put it up, shoot it up, all the stuff we do to try to make it last and look a certain way, it's still a mess. Flesh is mess, because it always keep you in trouble with the Lord. The flesh is at enmity with God. It can never please God. Your flesh just ain't going to do it. To be carnal-minded is to be at enmity with God. And it just won't work. The flesh, man, when the flesh want to act up, it acts up. When it's hungry, it let you know. It will embarrass you in the most places you don't ever want to be. But when it acts up, it acts up. This is all to it. It's a mess.
Right.
The flesh is a mess.
What you said. It'll never. What you said was so, back to it said, most of us was in the world longer than we've been saved. And the part right. when it said, because we don't like to tell us no, mm-hmm. think about how much we told us yes in the word, in the world. How much, anything I wanted to do, I did it. And that's the importance of dying daily. Because it's easy for me to tell me yes. It's easy. It's second nature for me. If I see something I want, I go get it. I have to be intentional. Dying of yourself is an intentional thing. It's 100% intentional. You would not die of yourself just because today, tomorrow is Wednesday. It won't happen. You have to have a mindset, and you also have to have a commitment of dying daily. That means even though I know I want this, I can't have it because it's bad for whatever reason. So that's good stuff.
I know several times we spoke on this topic before, and a couple of us talked about it, is that when we don't die to self, our old self shows us. And then we become right back that worldly man that we're trying to stay away from. Because I've heard it said a couple times on here, if I left me to me, it would be no good.
Right.
None at all.
Right. One of the ways that we stay lost is that we don't die of self enough, right? The more I feel of Big Five, the more comfortable I am of staying away from the word. You know what I mean? The more time that I spend during the week thinking about Big Five and thinking about all the stuff that was comfortable, all the stuff that I've done that was natural, it's so easy for Satan to say, hey, man, you tired. You don't feel like reading tonight. And it's so easy for me to agree because right. I'm spending moments in the thought process of the world. So that's good stuff, brother. Page 161. Anybody got anything on 161? You had nothing, brother Robert? All right.
I was going to be very quiet.
Huh?
I was going to be very quiet.
That'll be a verse.
Rather than satisfy a need for rest, I kept my commitment to Christ. It's talking about while I was going through this, he was going through seminary, I worked at a trailway station.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and what he's saying is, well, let me read some of it. This is the fourth line on it. A guy will punch out for lunch, then have his friends punch him back in, when in reality he was asleep on the job. Each man would get his turn, and the other would cover for him, awaiting their turn to get 3 hours of sleep while on the job. Put it simply, what they were doing was stealing. The men had agreed to work for 8 hours, but were stealing a few of those hours each night. And when they came to him and approached him about it, and he told him he couldn't do that to Jesus Christ, they tried to set him up and they wouldn't help him when it's time to unload the buses. But in our life, each one of us, I know for at the city, Prentice Brooklyn came up with this system called, they thought people were stealing time, so they came up with these time clocks where you actually use your finger, your biometrics to clock in and clock out. They got real fancy with it, so you couldn't steal time. You couldn't punch nobody in and out. But his main thing about that is, Tony's saying, if you promise these people to do 8 hours of work, as a man of God, you're obligated to do them 8 hours.
Right.
That's That's what kingdom men do. We represent. We get 8 hour days paid for 8 hours work. And I mean, that's basically what he's saying on page 161. So when we represent God, just because nobody's looking.
Right. That part.
Just because nobody's looking, you still need to represent Christ in the way that you need to get the job done. That's basically what he's saying on 61. But yeah, I remember Prince Brooks and them having that big conversation about folks stealing time. And oh, you should have heard that, brothers. Y'all should have heard that speech. That's all I'm gonna say. And I'm gonna let you move on. That's all I'm gonna say.
Hey, who are we when nobody's looking? That's everything. It really is. If I'm not standing on God's principle, when no one that I deem worthy or important is around, then I'm just Big Five, honestly. This job.
Yeah.
That's the end of that. Chapter 13, the kingdom man and his family life. I have a confession. Man, I got whooped. Walking through this section here, man. I got spanked, man. It's rich, man. Jay, give me something on here. I don't have a whole lot highlighted on this page, but I have some stuff on the next page. You got something?
Like I said, I don't know everybody's status from a marriage standpoint. The two bottom guys, Darren and John. Darren, are you married?
Darren married. Oh, I thought you were married. Hush my mouth.
Well, I'm just going to read this one verse, this one part. It says, a man's decision to marry a woman and begin a family is one of the most important decisions he will ever make. And I want those guys that are single to remember that as we go forward.
Mm-hmm. That's A. I'm going to read it again. A man's decision to marry a woman and begin a family is one of the most important decisions he will ever make. And I read that again. That's how important it is. It really is. I mean, it is, because as kingdom men, you don't want to make some of the mistakes that me and Jerome and some of the other brothers has made on here. And so just take that. If you guys don't take nothing away from every step of the way, however long this flows, please keep that in your back pocket. Put a pin in it. On 164.
Hey, Todd.
Go ahead.
On that same page, if you look down, it says marriage is no small thing and should be entered into with, marriage is no small thing and should be entered into only when both parties fully comprehend both the meaning and the purpose of it. Mm-hmm. And I think part of it too, sometimes we jump too quick.
Right.
So, knowing the full commitment it takes to be married as well.
Friends, I started getting whooped from the beginning of this, right? But since you said that, we jump too quick, and I say we jump too quick because we don't look at ourselves from a spiritual marriage is a spiritual thing, right?
Yes.
We don't look at ourselves individually, spiritually. Like if I'm not where I need to be spiritually, but I'm about to commit to a spiritual thing, I'm setting myself up for disaster eventually, because it's a commitment to spiritual growth. And if you don't know where you at spiritually, how can I honestly say that I'm ready to get this woman right, what she needs and vice versa from her? We don't really look at each other in a spiritual capacity. Are we prepared to do the things that God asks? Yeah, can we pay the rent? Can I pay the mortgage? Can we go to the grocery store? Can I keep the kids and give you free time? Yo, those things, I think sometimes we base our readiness and our preparedness on carnal things and things of the world. So good job.
And not only that, you have to remember, you have to go all the way back to the beginning when Adam first received his woman, his wife.
Right.
The man, don't forget, your duty is just about everything to prepare. Yeah, we know we got women working today, so they can't do a lot of things that they did back in the old. Things have perpetuated and changed. We understand that. But you got to remember, it still revolves around the man. It can't work without the man. He has to be equipped, and he has to know, as we said in the earlier chapter, he has to be aligned with headship. He got to know all this. As a man, as a kingdom man, he has to understand that I don't care who take a day off. You got to always be that man of God. I don't care who take a day off. Anybody that can take a day off, you can't. You got to be that man of God every day, dying to yourself. And I know people say, well, that's a lot of stuff. No, it's not. It's what God gives you and provides for you to do. You, that other stuff you make to be a lot, that stuff you add on, as you said, the worldly stuff, you add that on. But God intended for you to care and to provide for that family regardless. No days off. So
am I ready to pray for her even when I'm mad? Am I ready to take responsibility for her even when things are bad? Because right. Human nature is you're on your own, at least for right now, because I'm mad at you. But as a kingdom man, I still got to pray for her. I still got to protect her. I still got to provide. And those are the things for the younger guys. Like, if I knew, I wish I would have known. I wish someone would have told me those things as me going into marriage, and I would have had a better understanding of, I can't afford not to pray for her, even when things are bad. My responsibility is to constantly and always pray for her and to cover her in those areas. So that's good stuff right there.
Right.
Go ahead, brother.
Saying that, the thing of it is, you know, just because you get mad and get upset, it doesn't relinquish you from your responsibilities as a husband.
That's right. That's good.
And you can't pick and choose. Remember, I talked about this before, man. When you're talking about that word love, because you'll find out when you go through a trial and tribulations with your mate how deeply you really love them and how much you really care about them and concern about them. It talks about that, you know, in the Bible. You know, if two walk together, they should what?
Agree to be agreeable,
right? So, right. I mean, you know, and when people do that, you know, just like you said, a man has a responsibility.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That's why they was talking about the first part of this. You know, it's a serious decision. It's an important decision when you talk about marrying. You know, because you got to look at yourself deep inside of yourself. Am I at the point that I got that? Now, see, God will work those things out, but you got to be understand when you go into marriage, you have another person that you're responsible for.
Right.
And then when you have, oh man,
hey, good to, hey, bro. Hey, Bob. Hey, man, I can't even explain how much I miss all of this, right?
Here I am. I've been married twice.
Right. Me too.
So now I'm going to really lay this on you. My father, right, that just passed, was married to a woman for 67 years. The same woman.
Right. Wow. God.
And
amen.
Here I am at 65, and I'm single, and I had two marriages.
Right.
You follow what I'm saying?
Oh yeah.
I'm trying to, but God, that's why I'm in the place I am in now, because I have to be totally committed to Him and seek Him for Him to give me the one that He wants to give me. Now, come on, somebody.
Right. Amen. Amen.
I mean, you're getting. Heart, but it's got to be, Christ has got to be in the center of that circle.
Amen. Sunday night, Jerome read a part, I'm not sure exactly where that, but Jerome read a part about whining, blaming, right, and complaining.
Yeah.
In the garden, God shut that down when Adam tried to blame Eve.
Right, early,
the first marriage, God clamped the responsibility instantly.
Right. Yes, He did.
I gave the responsibility to you. You're not gonna ship it on her. So, man, that's good stuff. We can stay on that. We can stay on that. This ball here on 164, man.
Go ahead.
I thought it was kind of juicy.
Okay.
Third paragraph says, as we saw earlier, the creation of humankind was so man would be an image bearer of God himself. The purpose of being a fruitful and multiplying to fill the earth was not just to fill the earth with people, but it was also to fill the earth with image bearers. The goal of the family then is a replication of the image of God in history rather than to simply form a happy place to call home. The purpose of children is not to merely have lookalikes in your ancestral lines, but to produce children who will reflect the image of God throughout the world. In establishing the kingdom institution of the family, God created the expansion of his rule in history. That is precisely why Satan is trying to destroy the family. If Satan can destroy the family, he can destroy the expansion of God's kingdom rule. Whoever owns the family owns the future. The problem in legalizing gay marriages is not entirely a problem of homosexuality. The primary problem is the redefinition of the family away from its divine design. In redefining the family, Satan is attempting to set up a rival kingdom that undermines God's purpose for the home. In warping the view of manhood, Satan is doing the same thing he tried to do when he sought to have all the baby boys killed when Jesus was born. By getting rid of the men when they were boys, he attempted to kill the future. Men, your role is critical, and Satan's primary goal is to keep you from performing in it according to God's kingdom principle.
Woo! Jesus. Oh, Lord, have mercy.
It's so much in that.
Yeah.
It's so much in that, but it's simple also.
Mm-hmm.
It's simple. It's a lot, but it's kind of simple. A lot of times we've had this Prentice. I think the last time Prentice taught, it was on that. And, and it kind of just explained a little deeper about
How
God feels about what I just read. Somebody give me some. I know somebody got something.
Ever since he got kicked out of heaven, he's been trying to make a replica of God's kingdom. And one of the main components is the family.
Mm-hmm.
So when we see parts of somebody's family torn apart, or even your own family, you have to realize that it's by design that the enemy is attacking. And yes, he's using human beings to get his mission accomplished. But we also have to remember that we, being on the Lord's side, we have to pray those prayers that's going to intervene and stop, as Radam was talking the other night, generational curses. We have to stop this thing through prayer and fasting, because that's the only way it's going to work. And yes, it's tearing up a lot of families. As you was reading, Todd, they got homosexuality at the forefront of most bills in Congress now, which taking up all kinds of stuff. So it's everywhere, and he's attacking from all sides. So we have to stay prayerful and praying on all sides. I mean, that's just the bottom line. It's a fight. It's the Lord against Satan. That's the battle. There's no in between. And we have to remember that when we, like we on here tonight, we pray for a lot of people and a lot of circumstances, situations, because it's very prevalent in the world that prayer changes things, because it changed us. That's why we're here tonight. It changed us. So it works. We just have to continue to pray and grow stronger, because the enemy is not going to stop. He knows the end of his journey. He already defeated. He knows that. But he don't want nobody else to make it into heaven. He don't want nobody else to have a great life on this earth when he couldn't have it. So, yes, he's attacking the family, because that's the structure. That's the principal thing. That's the engine that makes everything run, the family.
Right. I think that right there, more it greater support that what Jerome read about the messed up part.
But
it supports why we need to be in alignment, because of his attack on the family. Yeah.
That's
our
right.
Headship is what's under attack, basically.
Right.
He wants to attack. He wants to destroy the family. And he has to attack me as the head. He has to. From a biblical, spiritual standpoint, he has to attack the head. So that's what I got on that.
Yeah. And just think about this, brother. We know a lot of brothers going through a lot of stuff. And a lot of them feel alone. They ain't got no help. But we have to encourage them and let them know, hey, man, you're not in this fight alone. We in it with you. Even though I might not see you this week or this month, I'm still with you because we as men have to fight this battle together. We have to fight it together. Yeah, because he's going to attack. He might attack one of us overnight out. But we still, through prayer, we can hold him back and change things.
Right. Hey, Jay, yeah. Anybody? I don't have anything on one. Honestly, 165, the whole page of 165 could have really been highlighted. The whole page of 165.
That's what I was waiting on you to just move on when we don't have one on something on one page, just move to the next one. So that's why I was waiting on you to go to 165.
Yeah. Let's dive in 165. It's man strong.
Before I go into 165, I think this is a great opportunity to give a shout out to anybody. But you know, I know a few people, man, that have been together since their youth. You know, my brother Henry and his wife Janice. Bump and Sheila, Robin and Tanya, those are the LaBelle and Glenda. Right. They've been together, man, since they were young, and it had to be a covenant, not a contract. It had to be the covenant of God, because I'm sure they've been through something. They've been through. I'm sure, you know, people that been, and all of them been married 25 plus years. I think I can safely say that they've been married 25 plus years. You know, I'm pretty sure they have. And so when it's a contract, like what I went up under, then you can get up out of a contract. But when it's a covenant with God, you have a tendency to hang in there for the end, to death do you part. You really take that covenant serious. Right. A contract sounds a lot temporarily. Right. But a covenant sounds like long term.
Lifetime.
So my shout out to those people that hung in there through the good, the bad, and the ugly, because that's what we finna discuss about the problem arising in our marriage is when we adopt our cultural views of marriage and simply means a simple means for love and happiness. But I think marriage is deeper than just saying, oh, I'm in love with you. Oh, I'm happy with you. You know, when you go through those tough times, you're gonna need something more than just a little bit of love to hold you together. It's going to take more than love to hold you together. That's what I'm learning now.
You just
can't put love on a womb and say, oh, I love you, and that's going to hold us together through when you done did something stupid, like, you know, some of the stuff Jerome Boyd done did. So it's going to have to be that covenant that, hey, I decided this, you know, when you make that marriage proposal and you say you're going to be with that person to the end, some people really take that serious, man. They take that vow very, very serious. And it's through the good, the bad, and the ugly. So when I was reading this, I thought about my two brothers, and I thought about Bump and Sheila, and I thought about Robin and Tanya. And those are the only four that I can really think of. I'm sure there's plenty of other people that I know that did that. But I thought about them, and I'm pretty sure, and I don't know any problem they might have had, but I know that they've been through some, because they got together when they were young. And to get up in their 50s and still be together, man, my hat goes off to him, man.
Amen.
I didn't make it 5 years. You know, I'm serious. I wasn't built that way. So it takes God to be intervening for those type of marriages to make it. I don't think you make it without God. And that's what this covenant for life on page 165 basically summed it all up. He's talking about a covenant is more simply a form of a contractual agreement. And scripture is divinely author. A covenant is spiritually binding relationship made between God and his people. That's how you know that God is in your life or in your marriage, when it's a covenant between not just you and that person, it's between you, the person, and God. Man, that really touched me when you put God in that equation, that, hey, I didn't just marry my wife. God married me and my wife. And so I got to honor my marriage, because what I do when I honor that marriage, I honor God. Right. No way in the world Charles can make all those years that he said 40-something years.
46.
Been married. And the way he talked, he hadn't always been an upstanding husband. No. But he has to have a good covenant with God, between him and his wife and God, to be able to get 46 years. Man, I'm only 53 years old.
Mm-hmm.
And I hate me sometimes talking about being married to her for 53 years. So, yeah. I mean, it just amazes me that people can be together that long and keep it together. So that's why I wanted to sum up page 165. But that's what it's talking about, the functions of marriage, the covenant of marriage. And I don't think we, as a whole generation of people, take it and give it the seriousness that it deserves.
Right, man. Jerome, thank you, man. What a blessing to point that, man. That's just awesome. And that is so true. So true. Because I remember a time when my mom was fussing at my dad. I was in the room. And my dad, he's so humble, just an humble man. And he knew, and she was fussing, really fussing. You know what he did? He just put his hands up like this. You know, just put his hands up. I'm gonna love you in regardless. Go, I can take some more because I love you. I ain't going nowhere. And man, and I saw that, and then I seen it to the end. You know, even when he took, 67 years, man. And what I'm gonna tell y'all, man. And when he was in the room, he was gone to be with the Lord. She got up and kissed husband, kissed him three times, laid over him, put her hands on him. He was gone. Man, to see that, it impacted me so much. 67 years. Jerome, thank you for, oh man, what a, and we have people in our family, you know, that I think about. My Aunt Odessa, my Uncle Harry that was married for that long. And then my great grandparents, his father and mother was married about that long. Man, I tell you.
Thanks, I'm John. I want to add something to it, Todd, and you're going to remember this. And this is for the young guys that, like Darren and Jonathan and myself and Josh, just remember this. You know, a couple of Thanksgivings ago, me and Todd were giving our brothers a hard time. And Todd laughing now because he know that we did
this. Yes.
But
yes.
My brother Henry had I don't know if he knew what this book is saying, but he had a tendency to do it. And not only Henry and Bump as well, they had a tendency to cater to their wives. Yes, I mean, when I say they would cater to their wives, they cater to their wives. And I didn't understand it. And I'm just being honest. I'm throwing myself under the bus, man. I just, Charles, when I tell you I didn't understand it, we had Thanksgivings and they're going to fix the wives, their, you know, plates and bringing them, bumping Henry, bringing them what they want, you know. And I'm looking at them like, man, what's wrong with y'all? You know, come on now. Let them women go fix your plate. You know,
yeah.
That's how Jerome is acting. I ain't gonna throw Todd in the bus. I'm gonna throw Jerome.
We clown.
Hey, we clowned him, man. We was on all day long. And my brother Henry looked at me and he said to me, he said, "That's why you ain't married."
Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's what he said to me. He said, and then Bump jumped in and said, "That's why we still married and y'all don't get it right. Because you have to do these things to keep your marriage together." Man, I was so dumbfounded. But now I get it.
Mm-hmm. I get it.
It took me forever to understand what they were doing. Right. But now reading this book, I understand. Them guys, man, they've been doing it the right way. They've been doing it the right way for a very long time. And you don't get 25 plus years without doing some of that.
Right.
I'm sure apprentices understand. I'm sure apprentices understand it as well. And I'm sure Charles understand it. And I'm sure Brother Robert understand it. But Jerome did not get all that, you know, I was a man, you know what I'm saying? So, but I'm learning now that, hey, you just got to step back, man, and do the little things. And it ain't always easy, but that's the sacrifice that you make as a man to be a good husband. And I just want to give a shout out to them, man, because I'm sure that they had their time, but standing in the gap, making the sacrifices, doing the right things, what held their marriage together.
Brother George.
Yes, sir.
From what Jerome's talking about, just now, and as you was talking about when you shared that scenario with your dad about your dad, do you the power in that? What Jerome is talking about, that bulldog in us,
right?
That she's rah rah rah. We failed at that every time.
I got
every time because our relationship wasn't strong enough in Christ. Your dad was such a man of God that at that time in his life, his relationship was with Christ first.
Correct.
In order to say, hey, why your wife giving you the heat, it can only come with a right relationship in Christ. I'm sure right, Jerome can agree with me. Every time I've got those, I fell bad. Hey, I ain't talking about I almost passed. I fell with a failing grade of zero because my relationship in my marriages was not strong enough in Christ to see my eyes go to what's in front of me. But when Jerome talked about like the covenant, so when I got a contract, if I'm married under a contract, every time I got heat, I respond to heat, right?
Right. Right, correct.
But in a covenant, the covenant is Christ-based. And so for your dad to be able to throw his hands up, it's all because of his relationship.
Yeah.
It's no other answer that his relationship with God was so important to him that he can say, hey, I ain't going to lose my place because you're in a bad place. And it was a temporary place. Know what I mean?
Right.
He understood that her fury at this moment is a temporary, but his place in heaven is eternal.
As a young man listening to y'all, if anybody else listening that's young, so do you just have to go through marriages to learn these things?
No.
Not marriages.
Do you have to go through a marriage or to learn those things? Because I feel like I've learned those by going through a relationship that I have to love self and have to love God too before I can love somebody else.
That's true. That's good.
Right? That's part of it, Jonathan. But can y'all hear me?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yes, sir.
And I'm kind of like Jerome. I reckon I'm gonna have to be honest. Like you guys have been saying, me and Hattie, we've been married for 4 to 6 years. But the day that we made our contract. I didn't think about a covenant at the time because I was ignorant to the fact of a covenant.
Mm-hmm.
And when we got married, I saw my mom and daddy were married for 52 years. I saw it. I saw the love that they had for each other. But I never did have anybody to sit down and talk to me.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I didn't have nobody to tell me or to share with me how to recognize love when it come your way.
Mm-hmm.
The way I saw love was physically. She looked good. I mean, she felt great and we had fun together. That was the thing that I was looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But the love that God has for the marriage. Do y'all remember when God created Adam, then he took Eve out of the side of Adam and presented Eve to Adam? And the first thing Adam said, flesh of my flesh.
Mm-hmm.
He saw Eve as himself, the part that was missing. And when God joined the two together, now this is just Charles' interpretation, okay? I always thought that whenever I joined myself with Hattie and you say the two become one, I still couldn't figure that out yet. My thinking was, and which was perverted, I got a woman now that I enjoy being with, I love her, and we can legally have as much sex as we possibly can.
Okay, gotcha.
But what I didn't realize at that moment, the same way God took Eve out of Adam, there was a piece of Adam that was missing. But when God brought Adam and Eve back together, Adam had to open himself up to Eve because that was the part of him that was missing. But anybody to tell me that, I would have blew that off in a heartbeat. I said, I got this. We married. We going to be together as long as we can. We're going to have as much sex as we can, and that's going to be it. But until nobody told me, I'm sharing, and I reckon I'm opening myself up to y'all. Nobody told me that I had to open myself up to my wife so that the two can become one. Mm-hmm. I will think whenever I put that ring on right there, the two became one. That just physically on the outside, even when we were intimate, having sex, that's outside stuff. My wife got a beautiful wife. I mean, all that's outside stuff, but that part of you as a man that's missing. When you make that covenant with that wife, your wife that God presents to you, mm-hmm. open yourself up to that woman so the two of you can become one.
Amen.
That's good, Amen. Brother Charles. That's good stuff, man.
But no one told me that. And the only reason that we've been together 46 years is by the grace of God.
Amen. Jesus.
I act like a fool. I do a lot of foolish stuff. And I'm not bragging or boasting in no kind of way. Like Jonathan, you were saying, learn from your peer, the people that you are around that can share with you the truth.
Right.
So I'm 70 now. I'm telling you my mistakes that I made. Learn from my mistakes. Stand above my shoulders and be the man God had called you. And I mean, that's for anybody, any man or woman.
Amen. Amen.
But I'm that's all.
I would say, Jonathan, like Charles just said, you have a great group of guys that has so much wisdom, because the marriage advice that I did get, which was not much, it was of a darker tone or negative energy, kind of like we making it, but we like it wasn't thriving. It wasn't messages about thriving in marriage. It was, you know, she ain't going nowhere. I ain't going nowhere. Right. The kids or stuff of that nature. So no one ever says get to know God and let him guide you. No one said that. So we got guys on here that giving us all this information, these nuggets. So that's, you don't have to go through it mm-mm. to learn it. We have guys sharing wisdom that'll put you in front of the game, versus for me personally, I've always been behind the game trying to play catch up. And you don't want to be married playing catch up, because we are called to lead, right? I can't lead if I'm pushing the wagon. I can't lead if I'm pushing the wagon. So that's good stuff. Anybody got anything on 166? Nothing on 166. On page 167, being her savior, sanctifier, and satisfier. Being a kingdom husband is a responsibility. In fact, Paul told us that it is a threefold responsibility. The first responsibility includes being your wife's savior. We read in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 25, husband, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church and gave himself up for her. First, a husband ought to be his wife's savior, since he is to love his wife like Christ loved the church. The last time I checked, Christ loved the church to death. So if you are still alive, you aren't finished yet. Be her savior. In order to discover how a man is to love his wife, we need to look at how Christ loves the church. How did Christ love the church? First, he gave himself up for her. That refers to a sacrifice. Jesus' sacrifice tells husband what it means to love. We love by choice, not by feeling. As we said earlier, loving your wife today has little to do with whether you feel like being loving today.
Yeah.
Biblical love focuses on the need of the person being loved, not necessarily on the emotions or wants of the one who is loving. It is righteously and passionately pursuing the well-being of the other, even if that comes at personal cost or sacrifice. that right there, man, that is something that I know I dropped the ball in personally. Mendron discussed it a little earlier today. Somebody give me some on that.
Come on, guys. Some of y'all jump in. I will. I just tell you from my standpoint. The part that really hit me was sacrificing, making a sacrifice. As everybody know, I came from South Carolina to Baltimore. When we first started, we had some issue with where we was going to stay, and I made the sacrifice, moved to Baltimore. But I didn't understand that I was doing the, you know, in God's eyes, I was making a sacrifice for the good. I struggled with it. And that's why I've been back and forth to South Carolina, because I still, up until recently, I struggled with that major sacrifice, giving up my family, giving up my everything that I knew. Mm-hmm. And now I understand it. Now I know the blessings can come, because now I understand the sacrifice that I made. So I'm just letting every man know that when you're married, it may not be the same sacrifice that I made, but men make sacrifices for their family, for their wives, for the betterment of the whole home. That's what men are to do. You make that sacrifice. And,
right.
And when you make that sacrifice, if your wife or significant other is lined up with God, she will appreciate that sacrifice that you have made. And God will make your relationship stronger for the sacrifice that you made, because if your sacrifice lines up with God, then it can't help but be blessed.
Yeah. Under the responsibility, it talks about the responsibility of the husband. If we truly understand responsibility, then the sacrifice that Jerome talking about is definitely more than a one-time thing.
That's right, man.
It's definitely more than a one-time. You will make more than one sacrifice, because you are responsible. Anytime you are in charge or you responsible for something, like I always think about like firemen and, you know, captains of ships and stuff like that. At the end of the day, if something got to be done, if somebody got to go down, it's the captain. And so we will make more than one big sacrifice. Sometimes you'll find yourself making sacrifice after sacrifice. And then I believe that a lot of times that's where murmuring and complaining starts to come from, because the enemy will make us look at our spouse and say, well, she ain't doing nothing.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But the mountain ain't on her anyway.
It's on
and,
you.
And so that's when we start to fall out of good graces, because we started to murmur. Jerome talked about that, read that Sunday about stop whining, stop complaining, and those things. And I think a lot of it is based off of sacrifice, because we feel like it should be a twofold thing. I sacrificed this week, she sacrificed next Thursday. Nah, that ain't gonna happen. It don't work that way. If it's gotta be a sacrifice, we gotta bite the bullet.
I wish Prince would listen. I wanna ask Dakota and Brother Robert and Brother Charles. They've been at this a lot longer than me. So when you focus on God in your marriage, does everything in the household lined up? Because that's what this book is making me think right now. And that's how I'm feeling. I'm feeling like, as long as I focus on God and I live according to his word, I pray about my issue, then there's no need for me to worry about what she may not be doing or what she ain't doing. God is going to align her with what I need, as long as I focus on Christ. Would that be a right statement, guys? I want to make sure that.
Well, I'll put it to you like this. To me, it helps you deal with it differently, because things are still going to happen, because you're not going to be in sync all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Other things that is going to arise, they're going to catch you on a bad day or catch her on a bad day and things. But because you are aligned with God, they're going to give you that calmness to come back to a point where you can be unified again, instead of going all the way stage left or all the way stage right, or however you want to put it. Because the temptations hit. Now, all the years of being married or whatever, these words are going to enter your mind. I'm done with this.
Yeah.
I'm out. Mm-hmm. These words are still going to enter your mind. But when you are in line with Christ, it's more stronger to say, you know, you with God, you ain't going nowhere. I mean, sometimes, realistically, you gonna be on that edge. You gonna be standing, and you gonna look back at yourself, and you gonna go, okay, you know that ain't you, right? You know where you stand on this side. Don't go back on the other side. So get on back over here. You don't have your little pity party, or you don't dealt with whatever you had to deal with. Now get on back here and get your house back in order, like you're supposed to. That's coming from me.
Amen. Thanks. I appreciate it.
Amen. Now, that's one thing about it as well, you got to be equally yoked when it comes to that. You have to make sure that your wife is in one accord. Y'all have to be on one accord. If y'all not equally yoked, it's not going to work out together, no matter what God is telling you, because she's just not going to be in agreement. You got to have a praying woman and all that. And even like what Mr. Brooks said, and still yet, some things are still going to be off balance. Like I told you before, I think several months ago, here I am, a minister, preaching, teaching the gospel. My wife takes off her wedding ring. It's like back in 2008. That's how close we was on the edge. Again, and all of that. I mean, it was just a mess. The devil done got all up in it. I should have probably, as a kingdom man, should have saw it coming and just stopped some things. You just said something a little while ago, Jerome. That was huge to get up and to move a couple of hundred miles away like that, man. That's huge, man. And I salute you on that, brother, because that's not easy. I can't even imagine how that was, man. You comfortable? I'm comfortable right here in Columbia, and all of a sudden I got to get up and go somewhere a couple of hundred miles away? Man, that's going to be some issues right there. I mean, but you know, for the betterment, that was a huge sacrifice. You are the definition of a sacrifice, brother, when it comes to that right there. Mm-hmm. And God bless you for that, to doing whatever it takes to keep your marriage intact. But sometimes, yes, God could be telling you one thing, but he's not telling the wife that, and now she's all in disagreement, whatever it is you might want to do. And that can cause issues. If anybody's on here that, you know, pastor the church, I know Elder Price there for a little while, but he was single at the time. But sometimes, even pastoring the church, you know God is talking to you, but it can still cause issues because she's upset. You always visiting people. You're always going to, it has to be a balance there. You got to realize you got a family to take care of as well. You might miss your son or child's game or whatnot because you got to go to the hospital to do a visit or whatever the case may be. But you, and maybe hopefully you'll have a wife that understands that. But if it happens too much, it can cause issues. But like I said, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. And I know that's huge right there, man. That's a whole lot of love right there. And
Brother Cody. Brother Cody. Like,
yes, sir.
I want to ask. As we walking through this book, we've got greater understanding of what our roles are, right? As kingdom men, can you elaborate more on the unequally yoke from the headship part? Know what I'm saying? Because when we hear unevenly yoked, people take that in different ways. Know what I mean? Like, the responsibility falls on us. So unequally yoked from a responsibility, from an accountability, from our partner. What do that look like from a spouse, from the other side? If I'm the head and the responsibility and the sacrifices falls on me, what do evenly yoked from the Do that question make sense? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I know what he said my responsibilities are and what my roles are. So what do an evenly yoked partner looks like?
I was saying, one, if I like, it's just like what Brother Charles was saying earlier about opening yourself up. You got to be one, man. You got to be one, praying together, fasting together, being on the same page. That's being equally yoked together and whatnot. Right, you're almost thinking the same things. And for having a wife, praying, hopefully you get a wife that's a praying woman of God, that's understanding, because she knows some things that go happen. You probably even need to talk about these things even ahead of time before things even happen. Because if you're unyoked, you're doing things and she's doing, and y'all not on the same, unequally yoked, not being on the same page, obviously. But that's why I say you got to do things together. Open up, let your wife know. Sometimes you might tell, God just spoke to me and said for me to do A, B, and C. If she come against that, that's not good. If she coming against that, what can you say if somebody say, well, God told me this? If you got a praying woman, she understands that. If you got a woman that's open up and tuned to the word of God, then she understands your responsibility. She knows her place. She knows what she should be doing. She knows what you should be doing as the man, as the head. That's all I'm saying. That husband, just like what Charles said, open yourself up. Pray together. Fast together. Make sure you're on one accord with those type of things. It'll go a whole lot smooth. Now, the enemy go do his thing. It's always just like Brother Brooks said. It's always going to be something. in the middle. Like sometimes you say, I'm done with this, or whatever the case may be, it's always going to be something and whatnot with that. But for the most part, if you two can stand together, you heard Brother Brooks say a little while ago, remember a few months ago when it was so emotional, he even shed tears a little bit. We were talking about how his wife was, she was so upset how they was treating him at work and all of that type of stuff. And she would, like he said, she was ready to go down there and want to see. That's what I'm talking about right there. Right, that's being right. One accord. When you're down with your man, that's that Bonnie and Clyde right there. She ready to go with somebody. And that, if, I mean, if you ain't got that, I mean, what do you have and whatnot? When you upset, if somebody's making you upset, your wife should be upset and vice versa and whatnot. That's how it be. And being on the same page as the responsibility, she should know what the responsibilities are. That's what counseling comes in at. And I can't stress enough the fact about praying and fasting together. And you watch how much things and being on one accord, and you just watch how, and she'll know what that is if you pray and fast together. But that has to happen though, Todd. Y'all have to be on one accord for that. That keeps the enemy at bay most of the time and whatnot, because he gonna do what he gotta do. But as long as I say, as long as y'all two are together, loving your wife like Christ loved the church, having a praying woman. And for one thing, having a praying woman, that's it. Not just not a competition, not being petty and all of that, but a praying woman, and watch how far your marriage will flourish.
Hey, that's a great, great answer. Great job, Chris Gold. Man, that's you nailed it. That's what I was looking for. Because a lot of times that is a confusing thing that I don't think we discuss as often that I think we should. What do being evenly yoked, like just in general, I think it's people kind of take it and twist it at times. It's one of the things that we can twist and make it form fitting. You know what I'm saying? Like I had a dude call me, man, he really wanted to get married. And he done told me in the past that she's not ready. But then now the conversation is like, she go to church all the time here and there. Hey, that's not evenly yoked. Like, you know what I'm saying? Give me more than that. So I just wanted to touch on that. Anyway, good job. I don't have anything else highlighted. Like I told you guys, you know, I'm going through my situations and man, this whole chapter whooped me like really good spiritually in a good way. I received a lot from it. So anybody got anything else they highlighted, have at it. I'm here for all of it.
Oh yeah. You know, I read it all. So I think also for anybody that may be listening, and what I got from the book is on page 168. 168 is a big part of it. When you marry someone, man, woman, cat, dog, you don't just marry the woman. You marry her history. You marry her family.
Right.
You marry. And what he's saying is you marry things that maybe you didn't think you signed up for, especially in today's world when you marry someone that got other kids or, you know, in my case, you know, she may have grown kids. And for her, you know, I got 4 kids and 15 grandkids, you know what I'm saying? So, but when you marry that person, you take on all those other duties along with marrying that person. And sometimes those type of things can cause problems. So what I'm trying to say is you have to discuss those things before you actually get married. You have to work those things out before you actually get married so that there won't be any problems down the road. And it still may be problems, but if you know you done talked about it, at least you got some type of guidance to go further with it. And he talked about it. He said, when you marry your wife, you didn't marry just her, but you also married her history, her past, basically. You marry everything that goes along with her. So he talked about that on page 168. If anybody wants to read what I was talking about.
You know, Jerome, I heard something today, y'all, and I laughed because it came up with Tyler Perry. Not only do you marry the history, you marry the future too.
Oh, man.
You marry what? You marry the future too.
Oh, yeah.
So things are going to change as you grow together.
Mm-hmm.
Issues are going to come up. Health issues. These things are going to happen as you grow together. So when you marry, it's not only the history, you're marrying the future too, because you remember, it's a covenant. It's a bond. Better, worse, or however you want to look at it. That's what you're marrying for. It's not the Luther song here and now. It's forever and always.
Yeah.
And so that's what we marry.
You said it earlier, too, Brother Jerome. You said it, man. If, especially when you marry and there's children involved before you met her and vice versa and whatnot, that definitely has to be discussed. I done been through all of that and whatnot because you don't want to seem like you're leaving out a child when you're discussing things or whatever the case may be. You know, me and my wife, sometimes I would get upset with her after we had our baby boy because we had two boys together and she had her daughter. And sometimes somebody, you know, when just having general conversation, somebody say, oh, how many children you got? And she'll say three. And it'll piss me off. Like, what about my daughter? We got, you know, it's four, you know, and she said three a few times, as a matter of fact. And I used to be 38 hot about that. We'll have a discussion shortly when we get to ourselves about that. And when I said, you can imagine how that went, but you know, and it was just, I mean, she didn't mean, but still it made me mad. I said, I ain't never did that. Somebody asked, I said, I got four children and whatnot. Lying to you, man, you just said it, bro. So if anybody's involved with any outside children and before you get married, you must discuss all kinds of things and whatnot. You know, for like the old saying, you marry the calf come with the cow and whatnot. You got to love that child just like you had it yourself. And whatnot. That child is a part of you now. That child might even take on your last name. I mean, there's so many things to discuss, but Brother Jerome just said it about that. That's a huge, that can be a deal breaker sometimes in certain cases and whatnot. You got to discuss that and get that straight, especially dealing with outside children. Like you said, your family, her family, her history, like Brother Prentice said, the future, all of that type of stuff. And that's where I believe all of that stuff, you got to communicate and talk about and discuss them things before you say, I do. Because if you don't, it can cause major problems.
And I want to add one more thing to that on page 168. And I'm going to read this one because I think it's just that important. It said, whatever you do for yourself, you ought to do for her. You are to treat her like you treat your own body. You are to think in terms of two, never in terms of one.
Come on.
It is in your best interest and hers to satisfy your wife emotionally, spiritually, and physically. And what I'm taking from that is, if you are a selfish-minded person before you get married, you need to work those details out before you marry.
Amen.
The bottom line is, it's no longer I.
Right.
The I got to go out of the window. Mm-hmm. It just got to go out of the window. And if you're thinking what I need or what I want, then, man, you're heading down the wrong road. And that's what this is saying. So when you get married, make sure that you think in terms of two, because it's just you and somebody else. It's just
you. Brother, you can't stress that enough, man. And that comes with bank accounts, all of that. Because if you've been single for a while, you used to having your own. You never knew nothing about a joint account. I mean, all of that got to be discussed, man. And just before I turn it back over to you, Todd, just a few hours ago, I'm sitting in the chair. I took a shower. I'm sitting in the chair watching TV. Now, my wife wants to go walking. I didn't feel like that. I said, babe, I done took a shower. Now, man, I don't feel like going walking now. But she ain't say nothing. She went to back, you know, and she asked again, we gonna go walking? Baby, I done took a shower. Never mind. I didn't know all of that. So, you know what? I said, let me just put on my darn shoes and my pants and go walking with this lady. And whatnot, man. That's my wife. So, we went on and walked a couple of miles, man, had a good conversation and all of that. But there's little things like that. That's just part of marriage, man. Years ago, I probably would have stuck to my guns and didn't go. And she probably would have went by herself. But I'm getting older. I ain't got time for that foolishness, man. Because now it would have been a quiet night and it would have been all bad. So my wife got a colonoscopy in the morning. So I'm off work and all that. So I don't want to be awkward and all of that. So, you know, we will be together the next couple of days because I'm off, because we're off for Good Friday. But the point is, I didn't want to do it. But I figured I just went ahead and got dressed and went on ahead and, you know, and it was good and whatnot. Sometimes it's just those little things. You just said it, Todd. I can't get up in the morning on Saturday and cook breakfast for me. You know, believe me, I've done that, you know, and that wasn't good. So you just go cook for you. And I mean, I done been through all of that. So now when I get up, everybody's freaking eating. That's just it. I'm cooking, and that's just how it is, man. I mean, because, like, you cannot be selfish. You can't express that enough. You cannot be all of that's out the window. But like I said, that comes with counseling and that comes with growing and all of that. Man, God bless to see all you brothers on the line on tonight. Amen. Because we thought we was going to have to make a road trip to get some of you brothers, man. But God bless and good to see y'all on here tonight.
Amen. Hey, Dakota, there's one thing Dakota said that I want to comment on. Not saying that he's wrong, but it can go both ways. And that was about the bank accounts. Now, there are families that have joint bank accounts, but there are also families that have separate bank accounts. Now, my wife and I came together late in life, and it was her decision, which, you know, it kind of worked out for me and my better half. She brought it up. She said, hey, how do you feel about separate accounts? I said, well, how you want to do it? She said, well, I would rather for my money to be my money and your money to be your money, and then we pay the bills together. And I was like, okay, yeah, let's do that. Because at that particular time, she had no clue what I had. So I'm like, let's leave it like that. You know what I'm saying? So you do your account, we do this account, and then we separate the bills in the house, and that works for us. Now, these guys that got these marriages early in life where they grew up and just started working together, they probably have more of a joint thing. But when you come together and your finances is already established late on in life, and that person's finances is already established late in life, it may behoove you to just keep it like it is and just pay the bills together. I just want to throw that out there, Dakota, not knocking what Dakota said. Absolutely right. I just want to give people a different option, the way to look at that, because it can go both ways.
That's right. If that works, that's right.
I think it's a conversation, because if you look at marriages, number one argument, finances. Number two usually be children. And number three usually be you're arguing about the family. And those where a lot of your arguments come in.
Right.
But it's all in the communication. It goes always back to the communication. It goes back to the sacrifice. It goes back to all the discussion you were having earlier when you started this about being that kingdom man.
Yeah.
It all rolls right in there together.
Amen. Amen.
I'm going to leave. Go ahead, Rob.
Jerome, I don't know if you read this part or not. It's at the very top of page 6-8, and I'll be finished. To sanctify something means to set it apart. It's special and unique. A man sanctifies his wife over time through disciplining her and providing a place where she is safe to grow and develop into the creation God made her to be. When you marry your wife, you didn't marry just her, but you marry, and it goes to the part that you started talking about, the history. The thing about it is, remember the garden, when God called for Adam, he didn't call for Eve. He called for Adam. He said, Adam, where are you? Where are thou? He called for Adam. Because everything hinges on that. Everything printed just rattled off. Everything Jerome was saying, And Dakota, everything revolved around that man being who he's supposed to be and where he's supposed to be in Christ. And nothing works unless that happens. Even when Dakota was talking about evenly yoked and everything, if the man is not there, and which a lot of families are missing, the man head, then it's out of order, it's out of alignment. It goes all the way back to the earlier chapters that we talked about. Everything is predicated on the man and God being the head, Christ Jesus being the head. It has to be that. And everything can work to the next step if that's in alignment with the headship. It's got to be that. And to my younger brothers, man, this is my 12th year, I think I'm going on. Listen. Man, marriage is a beautiful thing, and it's honored by God.
Yes.
Everything else, you're going to learn as you go. But just make sure that it's what you want to do, because it's for life. Marriage is for life. That's what you sign up for. And in between, it's just like jogging. You're going to jog 5 miles. In 3 miles, your body start hurting. You're going to quit. A lot of people do. Other folks take that pain and continue to run that 5 miles. I ain't talking about nobody. I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. If you sign up, it's commitment. It's like dedication. And really, it's back to the man in Christ. Christ didn't quit. He said, Father, take this cup from me.
Yeah.
But not my will. Let your will be done. And he went on and hung on the cross and died. Well, we got to go to the finish line, too. If we sign up to take that woman from her family, after what Jerome and Dakota and Todd done read by and friends, that's history. You're taking the family. You're taking the good, the bad, and the ugly, and everything else that come with it. You can't just take it back and give it back. A lot of people do it, or they try, but you can't. You done uprooted her from her family heritage. God is not pleased. And I'm like I said, I'm not talking about anybody, I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. So we have to remember when we go into marriage, a lot of folks got married before they got saved.
Yeah.
Can't count that. Because you wasn't acknowledging God. But today you get married, you acknowledging God, and you putting God first. Then there's order in your marriage to keep that marriage blessed. If a man findeth a wife, he findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. All that falls into place and kingdom. But it has to start with the man. And like I said, you can't take no days off. You can't take no days off. Thank you, Brother Dakota, for walking with my sister. Because if I'd have found out that you didn't, we'd have had an issue. We'd have had an issue. We'd have had issues.
Go ahead, thank you.
I appreciate it.
You had anything else, Jay, on that?
No, bro, I'm good.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
What Jerome talked about a little earlier about sacrifice, when you sacrifice something, I mean, when you're sacrificing yourself, that's not an easy thing to do.
No.
Because when Christ sacrificed himself, he was God himself.
Mm-hmm.
And look what he did for you. Look what he did for me. Look what he went through on that sacrifice. They laughed at him. They beat him. They whipped him.
Yeah.
If you are the Son of God, you come down and save yourself. They ridicule him. But like Jerome said earlier about that sacrifice. And if you think about Christ, the sacrifice that he made, I ain't never thought about this thing. Look what was birthed out of that sacrifice that he made. The sacrifice he made on the cross, we see Dakota, mm-hmm. we see Todd, mm-hmm. Jonathan, Jerome. We said all of you guys were birthed out of that sacrifice.
Mm.
When he tells us, and this has been, and I've been listening, but yet this was whipping my tail. When he tells us to sacrifice, when he tells me to sacrifice for my wife, the thing I want to do, this is Charles, why I got to sacrifice, why I got to do this. But yet, when Christ made that sacrifice on the cross, look what was birthed out of his sacrifice. Jerome, you moved from South Carolina to Maryland. You just said that was a sacrifice. But God gonna honor your sacrifice, and you just wait for what's gonna be birthed out of your sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And that's right. The thing it is with our wives. I mean, I know, like I said, 46 years, and I know I get on head and nerve. But about it.
He do.
Agree with that, though. But yet, in time, God is telling me, you have to sacrifice for your wife as the head.
Right.
You are the one going to have to lay down your wants, your needs, in order for you and your wife to benefit from the oneness of each other and the benefits of that sacrifice. I mean, it's just like, oh man. And you have to put down that self. I have to put down Charles. I really do. And that's why I say, for I'm crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I that lives in me. But if I don't do that, that Charles raised his ugly head. That Charles is an idiot.
Amen.
I'm
one last thing I want to add from the book, you You know, it ain't me. I'm just we studying the book, and I'm probably the one been reading a lot of it. Carl been reading it with me. Everybody been reading, but nobody have to answer this. When was the last time you complimented your wife?
Mm-hmm.
Good point.
That's one of the things that he talks about in here, how a woman has a unique insight and percept daily that she is valued. She needs to know that she's valued daily. Mm-hmm. And so just telling her that she has value, you will probably not be enough to satisfy her need to be cherished. She wants to know, what is it about her that you value? See, some things we don't say what we need to say. Some things that we say, we got to make sure we have an explanation for why we said it. We don't want her to think that we just saying it just to pacify her. You got to mean it and then have an explanation to why you said it so that she can get the fully understanding of, hey, he really means it. He really loves me. He really thinks I'm beautiful. And you know, because you know they will spread a little bit here, spread a little bit there. Well, you got to let them know that you love that anyway.
Mm-hmm. Come on.
You know, so either way, if they gain a little weight or lose a little weight or whatever you may like, you know, they sometime when they get a feeling a little bad, the hair might come out or whatever might be going on with them physically. We, as the man, need to be sharing with them that we love them the way they are, no matter what.
Amen. Amen.
That's what the right. I'm just breaking down the book, guys. I'm not saying I'm good at this. This is what Todd wanted to study. So I'm studying it and I'm learning from it.
Yeah.
And I'm growing from it, because we have to understand that they are delicate and we need to treat them like so. Mm. And I can remember when I first married Andrina, and I remember now through the book what I said the first time I married her and walked out from the marriage, and I was driving down the road. I looked over at her, mm-hmm. and I had a feeling like I saw an angel. Mm-hmm. And I said, wow, man. Because I have, I've been blessed with a beautiful wife. Body, everything. She'd be killing me if she knew I said this, but that particular day when I looked at her, I said, wow, man, this woman really is fine. What in the world is she doing with me? But that's how we should all feel about our wives. We should put them on a pedestal. Mm-hmm. We should feel like they're the greatest in the world, and we should treat them like they're the greatest in the world. And if we do that, according to what Mr. Tony Evans is saying, he said, we will reap joy from them. They will be happy. They will feel safe. They will feel secure. That's what the word of God, that's what the book is saying, that they will feel secure in their place of environment, in their homes. And when they go out of the house, they will honor you. They will honor us. So if for all of us on the line tonight and everybody that may be listening, tell your mate, even if it's your girlfriend, but tell your wives how beautiful they are, how much you love them. You know, you'll be surprised how far it goes. That's what Mr. Tony Evans is saying in the word. In the book, I'm sorry.
Good stuff, Jay. It's good stuff. Oh man,
huge.
We're gonna put a pin right here at 168, and not Sunday, not this Sunday coming. The Sunday after next, when we reconvene, we're gonna pick back up. Well, I want to share a little something about Jerome shared earlier today about how deep this whole chapter was, and then he said it's. Especially 168. So I read it again. And then I read it again. And actually I went for a walk and I cried. For 2 years at least. Everybody on here pretty well. Brother Charles, y'all heard Brother Charles talk about watering Miss Hattie, right? And so the sanctification part of this is where I fell so greatly. And so while I was walking, I was talking to God and asking him to grow me in that area, starting like now, like make it clear and show me how to do that and what it looks like. And I felt like an idiot because Brother Charles been talking to me about this for 2 years. Over 2 years, he didn't start talking about it on here right away, probably. But man, when you read 168, man, and Jerome talked about the compliment, all the things, dying of self, lifting them up, dying of self. No, those are the things that I dropped the ball in. And so, man, I'm so grateful for the word and Dr. Tony Evans' knowledge in this book, you guys just having so much wisdom imparted in me, and I know that moving forward, I'm going to be much, much better moving forward. So I'm just saying thank you to all you guys, man. I'm so grateful for you guys. About that time, the shout out and take away. I really don't want to get off call. It's been a few Tuesdays since we've been able to gather like this, and Sunday haven't looked like this, honestly, but it's still happening. And so I'm grateful for Sunday night also. Brother Darren, you there?
Yo.
Give me something.
Can y'all hear me?
Yeah. Now.
Yeah. Okay, cool, man. Tonight just really soaking in. I mean, I'm not married, but I mean, it was good information. It definitely made me start thinking about some different things, you know, like, you know, I got kids, I got four kids actually. So, you know, doing some things, I would say backwards. but it's not about what I did, it's what I'm going to do, you know what I'm saying? Type thing. My takeaway is understanding, especially as learning, you know, about being not just a man, but a kingdom man, make sure that, you know, understanding, you know, for us to be greater and to really tap into the things of kingdom, and we have to understand the difference between compromise. And I'm not married, but I'm just speaking, just if I had to answer a question, but understanding the difference between sacrifice and compromise. And those things are very close, but to me, sacrifice is not something. And what I'm just hearing from tonight is something that don't feel good. It ain't always what you want to do, and you don't get anything out of it. It's not. You don't go into a sacrifice like, oh, I'm gonna get this out of it, or this is what I want to get out of it. A compromise, you do. A compromise, you weigh all your options. Like, if I do this, I get this. If I get this, I do that. And I think if we understand the truth, that's why I feel like if we understand the difference between the two, then that would allow us to make better choices. So. Good stuff tonight, all you guys, all you married guys. I definitely appreciate all of the advice and the information. So maybe one day, you know what I'm saying, all you guys be sitting at my wedding, man, and we'll look back on this day and be like, bro, I knew it.
Right.
So, man, I'm definitely looking forward to a bright future. So I really appreciate you guys for holding me accountable with that. So thanks.
Hey, man, good stuff. Hey, Brother Darren, sacrifice is something we must do. Compromise has a little negotiation in it.
Right.
It has a little negotiation in it. So that's kind of how I always see that. Good job, man. Love you. Brother Jonathan.
Hey, brother. I'm missing y'all. Glad tonight. I need it tonight. I don't know anything about this marriage thing, but I know one thing. God has blessed me with a team and a band of brothers that have gave me the knowledge. And if I need to come to y'all, I know I can come to y'all anytime. So like I said before, I know I got an advantage on my future wife. I might not need to tell about y'all, but I just know I got that advantage. Y'all giving me that knowledge, you know, because I struggle with a lot of stuff y'all talk about. And I've never been married, but I've been in a relationship and I struggle with a lot of that stuff. And I always looked at myself as the bad person, but I see everybody goes through that stuff, no matter what it is. So I thank y'all and love y'all. May God bless y'all and your families and everything.
Good job. Good job. That's good stuff, Brother John. Love you, man. Love you. Brother Josh.
There's two things that kind of came to my head when we were going through and reading this last chapter. And it's about the first chapter first, the covenant and the contract. Contracts have an expiration date on them and covenants don't. So I think that's the difference between the two. You look at it as your marriage as a covenant, you're looking at it forever. So you're not looking at it with any wiggle room or for the end or anything. And the second thing is, when you're talking about the savior aspect, man, y'all can ask my wife right now. I tell her and my kids all the time, and I mean this from the bottom of my heart, that I will die for them any time of the day. She knows that physically I have her in that safe and that secure place. But it's just important, and he spoke about it in the book, is that mental aspect as well. I know I've fallen short on making sure that she was mentally safe and secure, and that those two, they work hand in hand. They're just as important as one another. So I appreciate, I can't remember if it was you, Todd, that suggested the book or not, but man, whoever suggested it, I appreciate it. I've been learning a lot.
Good stuff. It was actually Dirty Bird, but I don't know what's going on with him, but it was his idea.
Okay.
We're going to keep him lifted up in prayer anyway. Brother Friend.
It was good seeing everybody tonight and talking through this. I think everything was good. Everything was great. I think that laugh was a bit when Jerome talked about complimenting your wife, like Josh saying here. You know, and it's not a generic compliment. Not saying words just to say words to it, but being meaningful, being understanding. Be ready to answer why you're complimenting. Because I think that's more powerful, not just the compliment, but be ready to answer why you compliment. Not a generic answer just to say I did it. But it was great seeing everybody tonight. Again, love you, guys. Love you, guys.
Good job, bro. Friends. Because if we go too heavy on the compliment, you're going to have to answer the why. if we go real thick on the compliment, you're gonna have to be prepared to answer why. I mean, it's just human nature if we go too thick. So good job, Brother Robert.
I don't forget how many chapters we done went through, but every chapter of this book, I've seen myself and where I've came up short in my marriage. So I want to thank you, brothers, and thank y'all, man, for every night we come on and we go through this book, because it's helping me in so many ways to be a better husband, to be a better man in the kingdom. Because, I thought at one time, you know, being a scholar, biblical scholar, that I was pretty sharp, you know. I thought I knew, you know, a lot of stuff. I did. I mean, I can tell you no joke. But this book here lets me know that I ain't even touched the surface yet. Mm. I haven't even touched the surface. I'm going on 12 years, but I got a lot of work to do. But I'm up for the task. I'm going to see the end. I'm going to run it all the way through. I'm going to get them 40-something years, Brother Charles, and then I'm going to keep it going. I love you, brothers, man. Thank you for the night. I'm super blessed for being here, and I just got one question. I let it go. Is it cold where you at, Prentice? That's all I want to know.
Man, that wind whipping down here, boy. That's
right. Hey, good job. Good job, Brother Roberts. Real quick, you done said three times you think it's 12 years. You probably want to figure it out for your anniversary. That's just my heart to yours, because I don't want you to get no knot ups. You ain't got no half. I don't want you to get no knot on your head. Brother George.
My takeaway, just what I in Kevin's ears, is this book hits you dead in the heart and your soul, your mind, your spirit, to really make you really dig down deep. Mm-hmm. Reflection when you look into the mirror and that, you know, and then listening to Jerome and listening to Todd and Brother Dakota, Brother Robert and Josh and Jonathan, listen to everybody, man. It's an impact how we can get together and how the Holy Spirit can touch everybody's heart, soul, and spirit to really bring something to this men's group. But this book has really hit me hard in my heart, because I know y'all heard me talk about, you know, from the heart goes the issues of life. So it really pointed out some things that I've been doing, that I've did in my marriage and even in relationships, that this book really puts you in perspective of how a man is supposed to be and supposed to be and walk on that journey.
Good job, Brother John. Good job. Hey, man, love you, man. So good to see you, man, and just still got you and your family in prayer, man. Love you, Brother Charles.
Hey, man. I'm so glad to be on here tonight, man. I've been battling about 15 days, man, with a cold. I tell you, it's been kicking my butt. But the time tonight with you guys. God is showing me just you can have a long marriage, a lot of years under your belt with the marriage, but yet you still know where he wants you to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I'm learning from sharing with you, being with you, and Josh, Darius, and Jonathan, man, you guys are so far ahead of me.
Me too, amen.
From being on this call, man, I wish I would have had this 4 to 6 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of hurtful things
mm-hmm.
that I did out of ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
It was a learning process, and the reason we're still together, like I said, by the grace of God. But you guys have that opportunity to be the kingdom men that God intended for you to be.
Mm-hmm.
And it's amazing how he uses so many avenues to get you to the point where he wants you to be. And this book and you guys are helping me tremendously, man. You are. And I'm thankful for it. And I love each and every one of you, man.
Amen. Amen, Brother Todd. I love you so much, man. It's such a testament to who you are. And I know you wasn't feeling good. You wasn't even sure if you was going to make it on, man. But your love for the group and your love for the word and God is just, it's just what it is. It's so powerful, man. It's so strong. I love you. Brother Jerome.
Well, I'm going to be honest. I'm giving the book a lot of credit. But if I really would be honest with myself, I've had 3 people in my life that actually done talk to me about things that I'm reading in this book. My cousin Bump, my brother Henry, and my brother Lavelle. Now, they haven't sat me down and schooled me like I'm doing now, but they made these comments like,
mm-hmm.
this is how you treat a wife. But the key thing for me was I just wasn't there mentally. Mm-hmm. I just wasn't ready. I just wasn't where I am with God now to be able to hear and listen to that good information. But so I'm giving the book credit, but the truth is I've heard a lot of it before and I just didn't listen. Right. And that's just the truth. And that's my takeaway tonight, that I'm learning that you have to be at the right place. You have to be at the right time in your mind to be able to absorb all this information that God is trying to give you. He tries to give it to you early in life, but for some reason, some of us just don't grab it.
Right.
We just don't grab it. And that just sounds the truth. That's all I got.
Good job, Jay. Hey, man, I love you, man. You already know, man, my takeaway. So many nuggets tonight. So many nuggets. Great, great night, man. I almost don't want to go back to Sunday, honestly. Just Tuesday night, man, seeing all my brothers, man, But my takeaway really just resonating with me is the significance of the real when Brother Charles was talking about in context to the oneness, to being one, because he could have made Eve with anything he chose.
Yeah.
But I think we don't give that real from Adam enough credence.
Mm-hmm.
It's so much more meat in that, you know what I mean? Why, like Charles said, it was a void left there because of that. So they needed each other. But it's just that's my takeaway from tonight, man. Mm-hmm. I I'm so happy, man, and blessed to see you guys tonight. It's just touching me. I really don't want to go back to Sunday, but unfortunately, that's where we at. But some of you guys wasn't on when I shared this. We got like 30 more days of school, and then we're gonna be able to come back to Tuesday night and I didn't know it before, but now I'm really looking forward to getting back to Tuesday night because Tuesday night is our home. Tuesday night is our home, man. I love you guys, man. I see you guys this Sunday after next. for everybody who make it. Some of you guys who haven't been on, if you can get on for a few minutes, man, just pop on. You know, this ain't work. Ain't no schedule. You ain't clocking in. If you just pop on and say, hey, man, just know that we really love seeing you guys' faces. That's all I got. Brother Dakota, take us home.
Hey, man, before we pray, though, but Jerome says something real good. I mean, that's about the best advice you can give anybody, no matter how long you've been married, is to compliment your spouse. And sometimes you can't, because before you know it, you'll be taking her for granted and just assuming that she knows that you think that, you know, she's beautiful and all of that type of stuff. But like, they built different. Women love to hear things, you know,
right.
Just in the blink of an eye, they'll ask you, well, why did you marry me? Or why do you love me? What I do, or whatever the case may be. That's just, women just do things like that. And like Brother Jerome said, you must compliment them. My wife does things a little different. I can be in my Sunday suit and I think I'm looking fine. She won't say a word. My wife is just different. She compliments me by not saying anything. If something is wrong, she'll point it out. That's how she is. If she doesn't say anything, then I'm A-okay. Right. But that's just her. Yeah, I like to hear that I'm fine and look good, but she won't ever tell me that. So I figure, you know, I guess I'm all right when she don't ever say nothing. But that's just how she do and whatnot. You know, I'd rather get told I look good, but oh, I love it when you wear that suit, nothing that. But just like you said, you must give these ladies compliments. When they get their hair done, you got to tell them how good their hair look and whatnot. I mean, Todd just said it. I mean, you know, Jerome said it all. With the weight gain, how many marriages have been busted up because they done put on a few extra pounds? Them women notice that, man. They notice you don't hug them no more. You don't say things no more, whatever. No matter what, you married, all of that comes with the marriage, man. The weight gain, all of that, especially after they have children. You know, my wife not the same size she was 22 years ago and whatnot. I mean, it is what it is. I'm not the same size I was, you know, 22 years ago, but that's what it is. I mean, it comes with the marriage, man. And but that, man, that's some of the best advice anybody can take. So God bless you for that, Brother Jerome. And I haven't seen your wife, man, and you gave an awesome compliment saying how fine she was and how you took the role by saying, you know, why she would a dude like you, man. And, you know, and you right, man, because I don't know her, Todd, but you're not the most handsome brother in the world, Jerome, but that's right. But, you know, she with you nonetheless, though, man. You know, and one thing before we prayed, Darren said he not married and he got four kids and whatnot, man. And, you know, Darren, we got to set up an appointment with the veterinarian to get you neutered, man. Just don't make no sense. And whatnot. I didn't know you had four kids, brother, but your kids are beautiful, man. And next wife, you get the next one.
Listen, I'll gladly go. I'll gladly go to the clinic with you. I gladly go. Snip it. Don't even know.
You understand that, Todd. You understand now, hope.
Yeah.
Darren, you must be stopped, brother. This don't make no sense, man.
I can't have all these little rock stars around.
Hell yeah, man. The next woman you get, man, treat her like you treat that guitar, and you'll be married for 50 years, brother.
Yes, sir. Whatever,
I know you take care. I know that, brother. But you got a good head on your shoulders. So it's a matter of time, man. And God bless you. And I know it's coming and whatnot, man. Brother Charles, thank you for all of that. You're very emotional, man, and all of that. That was, you said some good things tonight about opening up. That's something we all got to do. Amen. Yep. And so I just need Todd to take some advice from Brother Jerome, man. Go get Tiffany and do a scene from The Honeymooners like Jackie Gleason, man. Just grab her and say, baby, you the greatest. And just grab her and kiss her, man, and whatnot. And let that be, and let the chips fall where they may, brother, and whatnot. Take some advice from Jerome and do that, man. Tell her she's the greatest and give her a big kiss. And next thing you know, you're moving all your stuff back in the house, brother. And all will be well and whatnot, man. So we hoping to get a good report from you sooner or later with that.
Brother Robert, right, get your boy.
I tried to tell y'all. I tried to let you know.
I like to keep it light.
Josh, you got anything to say? Brother Josh?
I got nothing to say.
Right before I pray, is we good with Brother Glenn? Is he good? Brother Glenn and Dirty Bird?
Glenn said he was going to be on tonight. Dirty Bird, Dirty Bird posted the thing on the group chat, but I don't know. I'm gonna call him in a second.
All right.
Well, Glenn's good, man. I talked
to him. We got to run a 15-passenger van, man. Let's get a 15-passenger van and go down to Daytona because I ain't seen a brother since and whatnot, man. So we got to do what we got to do. That don't make no sense for him to be down there that long, man, and whatnot. Hey, I told him he shouldn't have been down
there. If he's still down there, no need us going. Something wrong. Man, all that happy number women, you don't need to be down there, man. Cause you wearing a thong, you overdressed. We need to go down to Daytona and get that brother, man.
Hey, let's get out here, man. Hey, let's get out here.
Let's keep him in prayer and Dirty Bird as well. Cause I married him, brother, and I want to see him again. Let us pray. Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for this gathering tonight, this gathering of kingdom men in the mighty name of Jesus. Yes. God, we thank you for iron sharpening iron in Jesus' holy name, God. Father God, we thank you for all the wisdom and the knowledge that was brought forth on tonight, God. Continue to bless each and every one that's on here on tonight, Heavenly Father. Bless them and their families, Heavenly Father. Continue to help us, Heavenly Father, to love our wives even more in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. And let us be the kingdom men that you called us to be a difference maker in our homes and in our communities, on our jobs, Heavenly Father, and everywhere we go, God. Continue to order our steps, Lord. And I'm praying, Heavenly Father, for the brothers that's not on tonight, Heavenly Father. We're praying for Brother Kenneth Billy and Brother Glenn. Hallelujah, God. Bless them and strengthen them, God. Touch them wherever they may be right now, yes, Heavenly Father, yes. And continue to use them for your glory in the mighty name of Jesus, God. And I pray, Heavenly Father, that you keep us until we meet again, Father God, to keep us, Lord, and we keep living for you and being a positive difference in the kingdom. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Another love awesome you brothers, night, man. Guys. Love you guys. See you guys Sunday after next.
All right.
Love you, George.
Love you too there, brother. Love you.
Y'all be good, man.
All right. Y'all take care.
Yep.